call the number all the time. You better think I lose my mind, cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. Alright.
All right, this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. Welcome back to the show for another week. If you're a regular listener anywhere around the world, listening on CITR.ca or live on the dial 101.9 FM here in Vancouver, sunny day. Probably a lot of people out on the beach right now or doing whatever they got to do outside. Maybe someone's got a transistor radio. Do those things still exist? Or maybe some kind of device where you're streaming this and hearing these great sounds that I'm about to play for you for the next hour and a half. That's right, Stranded, which you can also find online in podcast form. If you go to ausstrandedradio.com, you can find lots of great information and podcasts. For each show goes up only a couple of days after the broadcast, so I'm pretty quick with that. And I write up a little bit of a thing, a little summary, and post a video each week. So lots of stuff to dive into if you're curious. And if you are new, this is a show where I dedicate the next hour and a half to music from the two countries that I'm familiar with, having lived in both, and being such a deep lover of music, I can't help but to want to talk about it and play it for you. And that's what I'm about to do. Two really fantastic interviews today. We have first up Joseph Hirabayashi. He is a member of the band The SSRIs, which have just changed the name to Spring. And he is performing this weekend at an event called Spatial Poetics 12, especially all about Asian Canadian artists. And Joseph is an exemplary example of that, and he's performed so much around the city. And this weekend it's for this event where he's performed, well, he's created a little rock operetta that he's going to be performing on stage, which is going to be accompanied by some animation. So cool stuff. That's coming up. Joseph Hirabayashi, a very well regarded local musician. And also Timothy Poitois is a fascinating chap who lives in Sydney, well, close to Sydney, more in the Blue Mountains area, near Sydney, Australia. And he grew up in Ontario, Canada. Moved about 4 years ago to the Blue Mountains, and that's where he stayed with his wife that he met there. And he's creating music. And I got in contact with him through a mutual friend and just thought, well, this is someone who really has to be aired on the show and have his story recorded. And that's what I did this afternoon, so you can enjoy that as well. Two interviews today, a packed show, lots of great music. Let's get into now. I always play older music up front, and I wanted to start off with some Canadian music because, pardon me, there's a compilation that is on the playlist here in the station that caught my eye, and I've been wanting to play some tracks for some time. It's called Have Not Been the Same, The Can Rock Renaissance, 1985 to 1995. So it's a compilation, just as it's as it sounds, of Canadian rock and roll through, I guess, maybe folks might call it a golden era, 1985 to 1995. So on the back here we have a whole bunch of bands: The Pursuit of Happiness, Local Rabbits, Bob Wiseman, Sloan, Grapes of Wrath, Sky Diggers, Jane Sibbery, The Doughboys, all sorts of great stuff, which, to be honest, I'm not familiar with, not having grown up here, so this is great for me to be playing. And first track is by a band called Slow, who I have heard in passing a fair bit about. Thanks, Janice McKenzie of the station here, for letting me know about Slow. Actually, you were quite enthusiastic about telling me all about this groundbreaking band and all the times you got to see them back in the day. So they formed in the mid-80s. In Vancouver, and the band consisted of vocalist Thomas Anselmi, guitarist Christian Thorvaldsen, and bassist Stephen Hamm. Ah, that's a familiar name. I think he might be in Ardwa's band, possibly, The Evaporators. Yeah, definitely in his own project, Canned Ham. Anyway, let's get into it. Slow. I'm really curious. I've honestly never heard Slow, but I've heard so much of them. They're a big part of the musical history of the city of Vancouver. So let's get into a track now called Have Not Been the Same. Oh, that's the name of this compilation. So it must be a good song. Here we go. You're on Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show, and about to hear a classic song from the band Slow from Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Oh, kicks her a kick. And he slaps her around a bit. He says, shut up, you bitch. Shut up, you bitch. I'll kill you, I'll kill you. Shut up, I'll kill you. Sitting on his face, and there's blood all over the place. I said, please, Dad, please. It was my mistake. I'm the one that's bad. I'm the one that's bad. Don't hit it, Dad. Don't hit it, Dad. I
Awesome. That's the sounds of Sloan there. Classic. The last three tracks, anyone who's deeply interested in Canadian music will know probably all those songs, maybe word for word, who knows. You heard up Slow first up with Have Not Been the Same. Next up with No Means No with the track Dad. And also The Pursuit of Happiness, a song called Wake Up and Smell Kathy. And finally Sloan with Lucky For Me. And I really enjoyed playing these tracks because I'm trying to learn as much as I can about Canadian music. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. And those songs you can all hear on the compilation called Have Not Been the Same, the Can Rock Renaissance, 1985 to 95. Awesome stuff. Awesome to hear Slow there. And thanks to Patrick who called through. He actually, when I mentioned Janice McKenzie, he knows that name. He's familiar with Janice, who does amazing work still at the station and was a DJ when she was studying here full-time. Patrick also had a show, and I hope I wrote it down right, the night after. I really hope I got that down right anyway, but Patrick mentioned that the singer from Slow, Thomas Anselmi, he's actually part of the team that set up the Waldorf Hotel. So there you go. Thank you, Patrick, for phoning through and saying hi. So, let's press on. I have my first up interview with Joseph Hirabashi of the band Spring, formerly known as SSRIs. He's playing a really fascinating event this weekend in Vancouver. So, that interview is coming up. But first, I wanted to play for you a song from Aunts and Uncles, which is a project of Joe's, a former project. That band is on hiatus now. But I'll be right back with that Arts and Uncles track for you. And then also, let's see, we're going to be playing that special interview with Joseph Hirabayashi.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, Temple of the Modern Girl Boutique, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
are you?
I'm Jello Biafra, and I've been spending way too much time in Vegas.
On June 17th, the Rickshaw hosts the Alternative Tentacles and Jello Biafra's birthday bash. Doors are at 8, and come early for Jello's captivating spoken word. He may even do a song or two. Fuel Injected .45 and The Goblins, featuring our own Nardwar, the human serviette, will serve up strange, wonderful rock stylings. Tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the door.
Okay, so here we are on CITR 101.9 FM, and special guest today, Joe Hirabayashi. He is a local guitarist, music teacher, and he's a very exceptional music teacher, and he's speaking with us today. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good. Actually, I should say multi-instrumentalist, really. Joe comes from quite a creative family. He's been involved in a number of projects in the city, including his bands, Aunts and Uncles, SSRIs, which are now currently known as Spring, but also various projects that pop up from time to time, including Spatial Poetics 12, an evening of experimental and collaborative performances by an eclectic lineup of Asian-Canadian artists. So Joe is Japanese-Canadian?
Yep, that's right.
What can you tell me about your family background? Because I know both of your mother and father are involved in the arts in a pretty deep way.
Yeah, well, I'm born and raised in Vancouver. My dad is American originally. He's Japanese-American. And my grandfather is Japanese-American as well. So my Japanese ancestry goes back to my great-grandfather, Shungo, who I recently have been reading about. And yeah, both my parents, my mom is actually like about 10th generation Canadian or something, or 12th generation, like very, very far back, and Métis as well.
Hmm.
And they both met in Vancouver a long time ago and are both dancers and choreographers. And they formed a company called Kokoro Dance Theater Society in 1986, which is the year that I was born, and have been basically doing a form of dance called Buto, which I think they're calling post-Buto now, which is a contemporary Japanese form of modern dance. Yeah, they've been a big inspiration just as far as being artists, and also being artists who have taken on doing something that isn't particularly the most mainstream and managed to build an audience within the city and build an audience within Canada and actually internationally as well. It's cool to be able to, you know, kind of step on my own, and that I'm now being asked to do things like Powell Street, which they have done for many, many, many years, and also this night, Spatial Poetics.
And in many ways, your parents, yeah, I mean, are quite pioneers, and I mean, music as well. Like they're both dancers, but I know you've mentioned that you borrowed a guitar or two off your dad.
Yeah,
I guess a very clear direct line there from what you're doing now with your life there. Yeah. With music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna mention one more thing. I do know in passing that your father has been honored at a certain ceremony where a certain very well-known singer-songwriter was also part of the bill. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, actually, it was my grandfather. Was honored with the Congressional Medal of Freedom Award last year, posthumously. So he actually has passed away, and that was for basically he opposed Japanese internment during the 1940s, during the Second World War, on the basis that it was unconstitutional and that they were without trial or without any sort of proper court proceedings were incarcerating Americans, Japanese Americans, but also Americans.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, that's actually, I would just, he has a book out, that I just finished reading, that documents basically his whole fiasco that he had to deal with when he was roughly around my age, actually a little bit younger. Basically, he lost his court case in the 1940s against the U.S. government on the ground, like basically on ridiculous grounds. And then in the 1980s, that court case was appealed and the ruling was overturned. And the government finally admitted that actually what they were doing in the 1940s was unconstitutional and was not justifiable. And now Barack Obama gave him a Congressional Medal of Freedom Award along with Bob Dylan and John Glenn and all these other pretty amazing people too.
Yeah. Oh, that's a amazing story, and actually sort of relates a little bit to the spatial poetics too. I know part of it, there's a gentleman raising a little bit of awareness about colonial history related to the exile of Chinese Canadian lepers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting awareness raising part of this weekend too.
Mm-hmm.
And so yourself personally with this project, you're working closely with an animator to meld a rock operetta and animation into an evocative exploration of Kantian morality and notions of exclusivity. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I had, when I was asked to do spatial poetics, the idea is that it's an interdisciplinary collaboration, and so I know a lot of musicians, and it came, I was like, oh, well, who should I work with, or what kind of medium would I be really interested in working with for a live performance piece like this? And so I've always actually really been interested in the idea of working with animation, but also working with video and having basically kind of a reverse, you know, instead of having video that's music accompanying video, kind of video accompanying music, or having it be this a live performance that involves video and figuring out the logistics of that. The familiar sounds there of Vancouver band the SSRIs, who have just changed their name to Spring and have recently had their debut show under that name at the Biltmore Cabaret. And that band features Joseph Hirabayashi, who is today's special guest, or our first guest. And he is speaking right now about the event that he is performing at this weekend called Spatial Poetics 12, which is an evening of experimental and collaborative performances by an eclectic lineup of Asian-Canadian artists. So it's a really interesting interdisciplinary event, and Joseph is playing music. He's recorded a piece, rock operetta, and that's going to be combined with some visuals
that a visual artist has included. And so Joseph now is speaking about how he was very influenced by the philosophy of Kant, Immanuel Kant, when he was writing the music for this operetta. So he'll be referring to Kant right now.
Interesting, because his sense of moral philosophy is very, you are literally a free acting human being essentially. Part of the idea was that it's kind of funny to do something that is about this popular philosophy character in a popular song. But then also I think it's interesting the extent to which, although people might not necessarily know specifically about Kantian moral theory, Kant is like incredibly influential in the structure of our society and the structure of our still. And there's a lot of really interesting, you know, very basic contentious points to make with Kant that, you know, are that this song explores in a really, really kind of popular sense. So it's not anything too heady, I'd like to think. And it's only 9 minutes, so it doesn't really get very deep into the subject. And I realize there's, like, you know, there's some complications to try and explain a large body of a philosopher's work within a 9 minute pop song, so.
And it sounds like, you know, very expertly put together, because this is actually Spatial Poetics 12. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, you know, a lot of history, a lot of dedicated people here. So definitely an event to check out. Joined with an animator, Gillian Cole. What could you tell me about Gillian?
She has a YouTube channel that has her grad project from Emily Carr. Her work is all hand-based animation. So initially when I approached her with the project, she warned me that she's like, okay, well, you saw my grad project, which was 3 minutes long, and that took like many, many, many months. So something that is going to be, initially it was going to be 10 to 15 minutes long. She's like, that's going to be next to impossible to actually fill with full-on hand animation because the process is very slow. And she managed actually to fill a full 9 minutes with her animation, which is pretty amazing. And it's really neat for someone to be working within an age dominated by digital technology and computers to be working something that's so analog. And it's something I really appreciate about what she does, because it is all hand drawn animation. And it's cool too, because it means it has a certain kind of you know, like je ne sais quoi analog feel, or like that rough around the edges kind of thing. And I think that's really, really important, that still, you know, within a variety of mediums, keep in touch with, you know, whether it's music or visual art.
Thank you. And just before you go too, I wanted to update listeners, especially local music fans, about where you're up to with your projects. Now, SSRIs has changed their name to Spring, and I know you've had your first major show under that name at the Biltmore.
Yeah, that's correct.
And what are the plans there, recording-wise? Is there anything yet in that name available, or?
We are currently working on a full-length album, which should be likely finished recording in the summer and then out in the fall. We do have a video single that should be released like very, very, very soon, probably within the next week. No, as of now, there's been no official releases, but that single release for a music video for a song called Your Chimarenga will be released really, really soon.
Great. We'll definitely be featuring that on this show, and looking forward to future shows too.
Putting on parentheses, penny inconsistency. bending in the systems, teaching everyone and everything, and everyone and everything is you.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola. No marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
The Goldcorp Centre for the Arts, SFU Woodwards, 149 West Hastings Street in Vancouver, starts at 8 p.m. and it's an evening of experimental and collaborative performances by an eclectic lineup of Canadian Asian artists. Really fascinating show, and Joe, a very talented guy here in the city, member of SSRIs, and also occasional projects like this, and you just heard Joe speaking about what you can expect on Saturday evening around 8 p.m. at Spatial Poetics 12, and you can find a Facebook event page for that as well. So, this is Stranded, and time to get into some Australian music, and we do have another very interesting interview coming up with a gentleman named Timothy Poitras. He is, as you can probably tell from that last name, of French, something going on there, French-Canadian, but he was based in Ontario, Canada, before moving to the Blue Mountains, just out of Sydney in Australia. He goes by the name of Ocean Leaves, and we had a great chat this afternoon about all things music and the two countries that we're both familiar with, Australia and Canada. That's coming up. But right now, let's play a few tracks from a band called The Blood Poets. I played for them a couple of years back, and Todd from the band actually got back in touch on email, and I always love that when anyone sends a message through and gets back in touch around the show. So I'm very happy to play some more Blood Poets tracks to see what they're up to right now. So The Blood Puff from Brisbane, which is the capital city of Queensland on the eastern seaboard in Australia. Very warm place. And they're, very energetic rock band. They've received national and international airplay. I'm going to play for you now a track from their last record called Sunny Day, and then a couple of tracks from their brand new studio album, their second album, and including the first single called War, which you can find on iTunes. So here's a band called The Blood Poets from Brisbane, Australia.
Stand up and take a look outside. It's just another sunny day. Just another sunny day. Another chance to cry. Will I really want to take this on? Well, I thought about yesterday. Well, I really want to take this on. Want to take you home. Where I sidestep you. Everyone I know is gone, and I am left here on my own. Stand up and take a look outside. It's just another sunny day. Just another sunny day. I don't need another place to go. Well, I really wanna stay and drown. Well, I thought about yesterday, when I said, would I know? I wanna take you home, where I'll sidestep you. Oh, is it enough that everyone I know is gone and I am left here on my own? Stand up and take a look outside. It's just another sunny day. Is it enough that everyone I know is gone and I am left here on my own? Stand up and take a look outside. It's just another sunny day. I am
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate, you remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What is Pilate? He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on CITR.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Welcome back to CITR Radio. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. You can find us on Twitter, at OzStranded. Three tracks there from the Blood Poets, a band from Queensland in Australia, featuring Todd Murphy on vocals, guitar, Toddy O on drums, Beck Plath on keys, Jake Parker on guitar, and Barney Gickle on bass. From Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, and some brand new music there. The first track you heard is off their last album, but then you heard two brand new tracks, Ra 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 Riot and War. Thanks, Todd, for getting back in touch. Great to hear what the band's up to. Now, sticking with Australia now, it's time for our second interview for today. Timothy Poitras grew up in Ontario, Canada, but he moved about 4 years ago to Australia, initially to, well, close to where the Blood Poets are. He moved to the Sunshine Coast, which is not far from Brisbane, eventually made his way south to the Blue Mountain area, which is just a stunningly gorgeous place just outside of Sydney. Pretty ideal, if you ask me, to not actually have to live in the mass of the that big metropolis of Sydney and be able to access it, though. Which Timothy is doing this in a few days' time. He's playing a gig there. So his project name is Ocean Leaves, and his debut EP is out. And I caught up with him today on the phone, and it was definitely a priority for me because I figured, well, this is exactly what this show is designed for when these moments come up, and someone who's got connections to both countries and is part of music, pretty much perfect for this show. His EP is called Always Is the Time to Make Everything. Ocean Leaves is the project. So let's play for you a track first up from the debut Ocean Leaves EP, and then we'll get into the chat with Timothy.
Say yeah. It's all right once in a while, otherwise it tends to induce bad values, false dreams, lazy habits.
You're listening to CITR on 101.9 FM, instilling bad values, false dreams, and lazy habits on the community for over 75 years.
This is CITR Radio, Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music and talk show on this time every week. You can listen online, you may be right now on CITR.ca. So that was a lovely, emotionally effective track there by Ocean Leaves. That's a project from a man named Timothy Poitras. We spoke to Timothy over the phone today, all the way from the Blue Mountains in Australia. Timothy moved there about 4 years ago from Ontario, where he was playing around, doing a lot of production work in Toronto and music, and he's finally really committed himself to producing his own songs, and his debut EP is out now, Always Is the Time to Make Everything, and I had a chat with him on the phone today. So let's hear his story. This is Timothy Poitras, goes by the name Ocean Leaves. Hello, Timothy.
Hello, how's it going today?
Very good. And you're calling from the Blue Mountains area?
Yeah, I'm calling from Katoomba, up in the top of the Blue Mountains. It's really chilly here today, actually.
Of course. It's, what time of year is this? It's kind of winter, of course. How can I forget?
Yeah, we just passed the winter solstice a couple weeks ago, so I've been running my fireplace almost nonstop just to keep the house warm.
But now, there's no actual snow up there, is that right? There's the ski fields around near Canberra, but not there, am I correct?
That's right, although, once last year, and it was in October too, which is really weird because that's the middle of spring for us. But in October, we got like 8 or 10 inches of snow overnight, and everything stopped. Nobody knows how to drive. They closed the highway. The train stopped running. Like everything crawled to nothingness, and everything was closed. And people were, I don't know where they found skis and snowboards, but they were skiing down the street. It was chaos.
I mean, that said, I would think that you'd be heading the pack because you are from Ontario, Canada, so you should have known how to handle yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, what can you tell us about, well, where it all started for you? Way over the other side of the world in Ontario.
I grew up in Ontario, in a smaller town a couple hours outside of Toronto. And then when I moved out of my parents' place, I lived in Toronto for about 8 years. And I worked in recording studios there, and my life had kind of become a little toxic there, and I really felt the need to leave and just change everything and start over somewhere. And right around the time I was thinking that, an opportunity in Australia kind of fell in my lap. My aunt, she married an Australian in the 90s, and they moved down here over a decade ago. And her husband was looking for somebody to apprentice under him as a writer. So I sold my house, and I moved to Australia, and I worked with him. And this was up on the Sunshine Coast, and I did that for about 3 years. I don't do that anymore. I'm now more focusing on music, but the job opportunity is what brought me to Australia. And I had really only planned on being here for 1 year, just because it's really easy to get a working holiday visa. Canadians, if you're hearing this and you're under 30, you can get it online, and it takes like 2 hours, and it's really cheap. You can get a year in Australia, no problem, because it's all Commonwealth. But I was here for a couple months, and I met the woman who ended up becoming my wife, and my my life changed pretty dramatically after that, and I've been here since then. It's been almost 4 years now.
Oh, which is still relatively new. That's fascinating. And in terms of music, your debut EP is out now. How did it all come about, the music thing? I guess you were revisiting a part of yourself that you developed quite significantly in Toronto.
Yeah, that's right. I've been playing guitar since I was about 14. And when I was in Toronto, I was always surrounded by a lot of musicians. And actually, I did some music writing for various things. But my songwriting, like my own personal songs, always kept getting the back burner to career and social life and all these reasons we used to justify not doing the thing that we really want to do. And I guess when I got down here, I started writing again because I kind of started over and I stopped doing things that were bad for me and started doing things that were good for me. And all these songs came pouring out. And that EP is the result of the first group of songs that I'm really okay with. I'm proud of enough to share them with the world. Pretty much everything else I ever wrote, I was kind of sick of before I even finished the song.
I see, and definitely there is a sense of purging there, something, and some difficult emotions too. I can tell with yearning for certain things, what could have been, or what is, or things missed or whatnot. So that makes a lot of sense that a geographic move can bring that up to the surface, I guess. Yeah,
it definitely can. And you're right about the missed opportunities thing, and the yearning and longing is, I think, kind of themes there. I spent 10 years saying, oh, I'm going to make a record this year. And it took me 10 years to actually get one done. And I'm very happy that I did it. But it does make me wonder where I might be had I made that record a while back instead of waiting 10 years. And then just the whole yearning thing is, I often feel, and I think there's a lot of expatriates that feel this way, you're sort of stuck between two places. You know, the place you grew up in, your family, they're on the other side of the world, or at least in another country, and this new place is amazing, but you do miss home. And then when you visit home, you're like, oh, this isn't home anymore. It's just, it's a weird place to be in, you know. It's like your heart doesn't have a proper home anymore.
And that's, you really actually nailed it with kind of the theme of my show, Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. It's those emotions drive a lot of why I've done this, actually. My own experience as an expat and trying to create something positive from that, yeah.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveBand.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
This is CITR Radio and Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. There's a track there from Ocean Leaves, the debut AP from Ocean Leaves, a project of Timothy Poitras. He is a Canadian citizen, but also an Australian, because he's been living there for 4 years. And that was a track off his debut EP, Always Is the Time to Make Everything. And I had a chat with him today. Let's get into part two of this interview with Timothy Poitras, where we start to talk about musical influences spanning both countries. Actually, you're almost perfect for this show in so many ways, this conversation, not only in a shared experience of expat, but musically too. You're someone who's cross-pollinating. So then I just wanted to leave it with a little bit about your influences, Australian and Canadian. Can we maybe have a quick chat about what, on both sides of the oceans, bands or musicians that you really admire?
Yeah, sure. what I play is an amalgamation of everything I've ever heard, so there's that blanket statement. I wouldn't really say that any one thing is a super strong influence, but when I was writing these songs, the ones for the EP, at the time I was listening to a lot of Fleet Foxes and Bon Iver and Beirut. I was pretty obsessed with the records of theirs that came out, I think it was 2011. Those were kind of on a loop, and I do that with albums. I'll play them until I'm dangerously close to never being able to hear them again because I've played them too much. But there's also some really great music in Australia that I came in contact with when I first came here, and I was like, how have I never heard of these people? Because when I got here, I heard Paul Kelly, and I had never heard of Paul Kelly before, and he's this legendary Aussie singer-songwriter down here, and I just dove into his back catalog, and I loved his storytelling, and I've read his book. I just kind of loved the way his brain works and the way he puts lyrics together. I think I hadn't fallen in love with the music of a storyteller, folk singer, in quite some time. So I dug into everything he had, and it's really amazing how somebody can exist with decades worth of music and it just not cross the ocean somehow, or at least not cross the ocean to me. And he's been a big influence on me since then. But there's so much good music in Australia. I'm really enjoying the Rubens right now. Something for Kate are touring again, which is really cool.
Oh, great!
And on the pop end of things, I'm really enjoying Gautier, as well as Kimbra's album. And that's those things are not stylistically close to what I do at all, but they're really well produced, like really really slick. My inner recording engineer really enjoys those records. And something I should have mentioned before, I guess, is since I was a teenager, Elliott Smith has been really huge for me. I'm not sure if that comes through in the music I write, but...
It does,
When I heard that Elliott Smith died, I remember that day. I was at work, and I was, like, so shattered I wanted to go home. I told my dad that Elliott Smith dying for me was probably like John Lennon dying for him. It was really devastating. And I still listen to him, like every week at least. He's kind of been a constant in my life. So musically, I guess I'm drawn towards more mellow and introspective and folksy kind of things. But that's just one part of it. I listen to a lot. I listen to hip-hop, and I listen to metal, and I listen to blues, and I just like it. If I hear it and I like it, that's good enough for me. I try not to overthink it anymore. Mm-hmm. I think when I was younger, I had like rules about what I was allowed to listen to and what was like bullshit, and I just don't have those rules anymore.
That's great. I too, actually, Elliot Smith, funny you should mention, just this year I've finally kind of discovered him. I was aware of him, but I'm drawn to him now as well. I'm like, his first couple of records that I haven't got any further than that yet, but that lo-fi stuff and the intricate guitar and the just pure emotion, it's just very few people get to that level of depth, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was like a really dedicated producer of his own music. Like, if you listen to all his vocals, they're all perfectly doubled. You know, every syllable is in the exact same place, every breath is in the exact same place, and there's like a meticulousness to what he does that I just, it's unmatched for me. Like, yeah, it's lo-fi, but if you pay attention to the details, like, you can tell he spent a long time getting those takes right. That's really cool.
Excellent. Well, and how are you placed at the moment in terms of your actual setup? So you live in the Blue Mountains, which is a little bit away from the major city. Do you get into That's Sydney? Right. Do you have opportunity to play live? Or?
Yeah. I'm actually playing next Wednesday at FBI Social. That's July 10th. Yeah, I'm opening for a band, some Sydney folk singers called Achu Bless You. And they kind of do the really cute dual vocal, male-female harmonizing sort of twee thing. They're great. I'm looking forward to playing with them. I do live about, I guess, an hour and a half out of Sydney, but I more prefer being in a smaller town with proximity to a city than living in the hustle bustle itself. I think I had enough Toronto, and I'm not quite at the point where I want to be back in the thick of it. But up here in the mountains where I'm living, I have a little recording setup of my own. So, you know, I try every week just to sit down and work on stuff, whether I think it's good or not. And there's been some newer songs coming through, so I'm hoping to have something to release again later this year. I kind of keep lyrics in my pocket all the time, you know, have some paper and stuff, because I just get pieces kind of popping into my brain all the time, and if I don't jot them down, they're just gone forever. So I'm keeping busy, and yeah, getting into Sydney as much as I can for shows.
Yeah. Oh, sounds like a really ideal mix. I know, pretty easy train access. Hey, it would be quite a nice journey, I'd say, on the train.
Yeah, you don't have to drive.
Yeah.
I only really drive if I'm going with other people and it makes more sense, or if I'm carting my gear to a gig. I'm definitely not going to carry, like, my amplifier and a couple of guitar cases on the train.
Could carry me away. I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
One more track there from Ocean Leaves, the project of Timothy Poitois, and he is our second interview today. We had a chat with him down the line from the Blue Mountains in Sydney where he lives, and he is a really fascinating chap because he's from Canada, Ontario, and living in New South Wales making music. So, of course, ideal for this radio show, Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music and Talk Show. Okay, so let's get into the final part of the interview. If you're all visually oriented, you might find this interesting because I found that the EP cover for the Ocean Leaves debut EP, Always Is the Time to Make Everything, I found the cover just really quite striking. It's a picture of a hammer, a wooden hammer with intricate carvings on it. So I had to ask Timothy about that. Just before you go, I'm curious about the EP cover. Your EP is called Always Is the Time to Make Everything by Ocean Leaves. Yep. And I just love that image of the hammer, this wooden hammer with intricate carvings and painting on it. And I just thought, oh, that's like Thor's hammer, but like really coolly designed. What can you tell me about that?
Okay. Here in Katoomba, there is an artist named Scott Marr, M-A-R-R, and he is a fantastic artist. He's had his stuff shown in New York, and very, very talented guy. I know him just as a friend of a friend. I didn't even realize how big a name he was until kind of after he agreed to do my cover art. I had asked him, I'm like, hey, man, your stuff's really cool. Do you want to work on something for me? It's going to be a few months before the EP's ready. And he said, yeah, sure, I'll make you something. His particular type of artwork is usually two-dimensional and looks like a painting, but it's actually pyrography, which is wood burning and paper burning, and the colors in his pictures, well, it looks like paint. It's actually paint that he's made by taking pigments out of the earth from various places around Australia. Some of those pigments are like 400 million years old, literally.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he has, his style is really, I don't even know the word. It's not surreal. I guess in a way it is, but it'll be like a big duck in flight, but there's huge jet engines under the wings, or it's like there's a dingo, but he's part machinery and stuff. It's really cool. And so I said, just make me something. These are the images of yours I really like. He said, sure. And then it was like 4.5 months later. I said, hey, we're almost done. Can I see something? And he's like, okay, but don't freak out. And he sent me a video. And it's him walking around this sculpture. He's like, I know you wanted a picture, but this is what came out when I listened to your music. He's like, I kind of wanted to make something that would look like a relic you might find in a tomb or something. This massive hammer with intricate wood burning. There's like eyeballs and really cool squiggles all up and down the handle that to me look, you know, very uniquely Australian. And he said, we'll just get a photographer to take a picture. And, you know, go ahead and there you are. And so I wish I could have the hammer personally, but I can't afford his artwork. That's going to go for quite a high price tag. But, yeah, I'm really, really happy with how it came out. We just shot it on a white background, and you can see the shadow of it. You sort of feel the weight of the image. Like, it's a pretty big sculpture. So That's the story of that, yeah.
Thank you. That's a really interesting story. What was the gentleman's name again?
Scott Marr. His last name is spelled M-A-R-R. And you can see all his stuff. He's got his own website, just scottmarr.com.au.
Beautiful. Well, thanks. I was really curious about that. So thanks very much, Timothy. Ocean Leaves is the name of the project. And just again, you have a show tonight. If anyone is listening, well, not tonight, but when is it for Sydney listeners?
It's this coming Wednesday, July 10th at FBI Social, which is the second level of the King's Cross Hotel.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Timothy Poitois, native of Ontario, Canada, but based in the Blue Mountains of Australia. And it goes by the recording name of Ocean Leaves. So